We're still on the bus. We're doing a showboat. What was it like to watch the European Cup win for the first time, in particular in Madrid? So there's different generations on here. Some have never seen Liverpool win the European Cup yet. Too many cups this season. There's a few of us whose first experience was Istanbul. And then there's Johnny Melbourne, who was in Rome in 1984. He's asleep. So you take that joke. But the three gentlemen I've got with me saw Liverpool win the European Cup for the first time in Madrid. They are in their mid to late 20s, let's be generous, to the man to my left. First of all, I'll ask you, Craig, what was your relationship like with the European Cup before Kiev, and in particular Istanbul? What did Istanbul mean to you?
I was besotted by it as a kid. I remember my earliest memories watching Man United on ITV and wondering why Liverpool weren't there. I'm wondering why I didn't get to watch Liverpool in this competition. And then Istanbul happens, and it's this like whirling sort of thing that just happens. It feels like it happens out of nothing. And I remember watching the DVDs over and over again. Like I recite Clive Tilsey's commentary. I think I did do it to him whenever we met him in Glasgow.
I'm sure he's used to
just
that.
Tell him his commentary that I love, because I'd watched it so many times. And so growing up, I just had this like really, really, really strong relationship. And even Athens, like I was a little bit older, a couple of years older, and I remember just being devastated that night that we hadn't you know won it again. And then there's that barren patch where, you know, Facebook memory shows you old things, and recently there's a few that's come up, and there's like statuses from me over the years saying I love the European Cup, like I can't wait for Liverpool to be back in it. And then obviously now under Jurgen Klopp, we've got it's the third European Cup final I'll have been to, and it's all thanks to him. So yeah, in terms of my relationship with it, I've always been, I loved reading about it in the books, I've loved watching other teams in it and wonder why we weren't, I've loved watching Liverpool win it as a kid, and then I've now been able to watch Liverpool actually win it in person.
What about you, Dan?
I think similarly, yeah. The sort of sheer exoticism of it a kid always meant that it was more of a thrill, I think. It sort of goes for the UEFA Cup as well. I was always more excited about watching Liverpool playing the UEFA Cup, or actually quite often listening on the radio to people to Liverpool playing in the UEFA Cup, than just a normal league game or a domestic cup game. Because, you know, back then you knew from like Pro Evo or FIFA and from magazines and stuff like that who played for Inter or Barcelona or whoever, but they were not accessible to you in any way. You couldn't regularly watch them on the telly. You knew that Del Piero was brilliant, for example, but the first time I actually properly sat down and watched him play was when Juventus played in Anfield in the Istanbul run. And I think that a lot of things that sort of define my life subsequently, I've always had like a strong interest in geography and languages and stuff like that, and different cultures. I think a lot of it comes from the European Cup, as daft as that sounds to say. Because the idea of Liverpool in either of those competitions when I was a kid, because the first season I actually remember was the treble season, so the first European games I remember watching or listening to were UEFA Cup ones. Them going to these different places and me being sort of vaguely aware the family members were going to these places and stuff like that, just always seeing that level more exciting. So then obviously when Liverpool won it in 2005, that felt like the absolute ultimate. But it took a really long time for, I think, someone my age to get a proper experience of it, because they last got knocked out under Benitez in 2009, didn't they?
Yeah.
So I would have been 13 or 14 then, so still not. I'd been to a couple of Champions League group stage games, but not a proper part of it by any means. Certainly didn't have my own money to be spent on going to matches and stuff. And then it felt like it took ages for us to get a proper crack at it. My first European away was the Real Madrid one when Rodgers played the reserves. I don't know that people to this day have sort of different views on that, but I felt fucking conned. I've been waiting my entire life. I was 19, I was absolutely buzzing. I'd not been outside of the UK actually in about 13 years before that, since I was a little kid. I was so excited. We got to the ground. We'd all been travelling, so no one really knew the team. And the fella comes on the PA system and he's going, "Numero 29, Fabio Perini." And everyone's going, "Fucking what? What's he done?" And I felt like the dream had been taken away from me. So then that Kiev season was my, you know, first sort of first real crack at being a part of a knockout campaign and stuff like that. So being able, when you're, you know, roughly our age, I would have been in my early 20s then, to be able to be part of something like that, I think is really, really special.
Fuad, what does the European Cup mean to you, sort of growing up, and in particular Istanbul?
I mean, Istanbul, I was about 7, I think. So I don't have that many memories. We didn't get to watch it as well, because at home, I only learned this a couple of years ago, that my sister was only 3 or 4, and she took the card from the TV. We used to have a card in the TV that had the channels, and she hid it.
Fuck's sake, Nadia.
So that night, you know, my dad went to the pub to watch it. The only pub in Dubai at that time. I was showing the match. And we were following it on like BBC Sport or something like that. And obviously I had no real idea what was going on, but it was always this thing. It was almost like a mythical thing to me, because, you know, I didn't have that real time memory of watching anything or seeing the goals. And I remember constantly, you know, watching the DVD back. We had the DVD, and watching the highlights at every opportunity. And to be honest with you, the Champions League felt like a real distant thing to me. It felt like that's what, you know, these other teams do. We don't do that anymore, because that's a lot to do with my memory of football and my weird memory of football, where I only really remember, I think, from 2012 onwards. So I don't really have that kind of bank of memories of being in the Champions League itself. And obviously, you know, you've got the Europa League, you've got the UEFA Cup. But, you know, I'll always go back to 17-18 and that season when, you know, we get into it again. And I did my first European away that season as well in Porto, which will always be in my memory. And as my dad's first European away, and I managed to share that with him, which was a really nice kind of experience. And, you know, I think from then on, it was almost like an addiction, I think, going on those trips and like experiencing it in that way. I never really saw that side of supporting Liverpool. It was only really Anfield to me. So, yeah, I mean, since then, it's all I ever think about when it comes to football. For me, it's always been about winning this competition. I think once you kind of get the taste of playing these sides and you get the taste of going on these trips, that's what you want to be doing, and that's what you want to be, you know, doing as much as you can in one season and getting to finals and having all those days.
I think what Dan said there about when you're a kid, the things that you attach yourself to, you become interesting. Like I love like the advertising boards, for instance, like when you'd see like Amstel and PlayStation
2.
And all of these things that made it feel like it was an event that you were watching. Even the fact that it was on ITV, I loved back in the day, whenever you'd get to watch it. It wasn't Sky, it wasn't PT, everyone could watch these football matches. And even though, like I said, it was United that I was watching first and foremost because Liverpool were in it, you know, it still made me want to be in it. It still made it so that whenever Liverpool did reach them, did reach the European Cup in 2002, I think, then it felt a lot, felt much more to me.
I think talking about it as an event like that, to me, the anthem and the waving of the ball in the
still
middle.
Still gets me.
I absolutely loved it as a kid, because you knew you were watching something really special, and your team wouldn't necessarily be in this all the time. And still at Anfield now, I mean, I know that like some other teams do it. We stand at the back of the car for European games. And there are some people that boo it, and like I get why, and you know the reasons about the organisation and stuff, but I always really look forward to it, because it sort of reminds me, like, because we do take Liverpool in Europe for granted now, even though it's only been a short amount of time that we've been going and Liverpool have been getting to these finals in the past few years, but we all do. I remember people turning up for that Villarreal first leg of the semi, like it was Norwich in the League Cup, it was mad, no one gave a shit. But I always really want to see that moment when they get the kids on the pitch and they shake the thing, because it feels like, oh, this is big.
Me and you should be one of those.
Honestly, I think that's probably still my dream.
Because, you know, moving from Istanbul, Fuad, do you sort of have a feeling that that's sort of someone else's? So I've got my stories of going, you know, and I'm not going to bore you with them now because it's not my podcast, but... You know, you only have to sit in a room long enough for me and Kevin. We'll talk about Brazil and we'll talk about Istanbul. sorry, guys. So it must feel like a little bit like sort of someone else's, you know, boss moment. And, you know, you if it came on telly, you'd watch it. Yeah. But, like, it feels like that's someone else's kind of experience. That's someone else's European Cup win.
Yeah, I mean, I remember my dad getting home really, really late afterwards. So that I knew something had happened. And obviously... You know, when you don't have that visual kind of thing with it, when you don't literally see the goals at the time, you know, you don't have that same relation. But it's always been a thing that I will go back to. And I think for me, when I really started to feel it was that Europa League final, you know, against Seville. And that one, like, that felt to me like a Champions League final. Just because I didn't think that I'd see Liverpool get to a final in Europe, you know, even though it was the Europa League. I think that was the one where I really thought, you know, oh, this is what this feels like kind of thing. And I managed to go to that Villarreal game at the semi-final in that season and get that taste of a European atmosphere. That was sort of, I think Hearts before that was the only other Europa game I'd been to.
Yeah.
So that was like my first real taste of Anfield on a proper European night. And I think since then, you know, I remember the excitement in 17, 18, you know, that Seville game at home. That was huge for me. That was like, you know, wow, this is something I get to now. It's not something I'm just hearing about and I'm watching old videos of. You know, it's not just highlights I'm looking at. I actually get to be there, I actually get to see it. And, you know, them playing Real Madrid in that final, you know, that again, that was something I never associated with Liverpool. It was always something, well, we just watched the final on TV. You know, it's other teams involved, not us. So that, you know, that was the one where, like I said before, you know, you get that feeling and you feel kind of hooked onto it now. You want to be in the final every year. And every season, that's the thing that I look forward to the most, European Cup.
I'm really interested in what Dan said before. Can you just explore that a bit more? The idea of feeling a bit cheated by the 14-15, you know.
Yeah.
Particularly that Real Madrid game, but really the whole group stage was a bit of a disaster, really. You know, the Real Madrid were obviously a good team, but, you know, they should have beat those other teams. They should have gone through, really, to the knockouts, and they weren't able to. And, you know, I think for all Liverpool fans, you know, having that death of lack of European football, there's the wonderful Roy Evans quote that I always do, that Liverpool without European football is like a banquet without fine wine. And it felt like between 09 and 17, there's just that one year in the Champions League where we don't do anything, and actually, you know, we it's a bit of a sort of a shambles. So for you, who's someone who'd moved over, you know, from Northern Ireland, you know, first of all to Newcastle, you know, you had a poly, so you probably got loads of free time, you know.
And then eventually, why am I filming this?
It never leaves you.
And then eventually you sort of come down to Liverpool and you move here and you're like, right, here we go. You know, I mean, look, you want to watch the Reds and I'm sure it was great, but was there a little bit of you thinking like, can we get in the European Cup, please?
I definitely felt cheated in that 8-year period whereby, so I remember growing up watching the Benitez years and some incredible nights, but I was watching them at home with Dad, and that was brilliant. I look back on that so fondly because that's something I don't get to do now. But I remember my mates who were 2-3 years older than me at uni, and they were going out. Remember the Arsenal game with the knockout? And it was like, that was one of the most exciting games of football I've ever watched in that competition. And they were all out celebrating afterwards, and I thought to myself, I can't wait till I'm 18 and I get to do this, you know, get to go out celebrate and watch in a pub and feel like the atmosphere of it all. The year I go to uni is the year that it's Rafa Benitez's last season in the European Cup. I think we get put out. We're in a group with Leon and Fiorentina. We go out, crash out, and suddenly I felt like, well, we didn't get anything then for the following sort of 8 years. And like you say, that year we're, you know, it's Balotelli up top, and we get a late winner against, I can't even remember the team in the first game.
Ludogorets.
Yes.
Balotelli scored.
Yes, Balotelli scores, and
Lambert scored in the away leg.
And you're trying to scrape it through against Basel in the final game, and Gerard, you know, none of it felt like the nights under Benitez. It didn't have that same feeling. It didn't feel like Liverpool were going to do anything, like they were there to win it, like they were there to go far in it, even if they were underdogs. It felt like we were just there.
Did belong there, right?
Yeah. Sort of feeling. It felt as if we just sort of found ourselves there, and we weren't equipped to be there. And so I do feel cheated, and I think moving over to Liverpool and the timing of that, you know, Jurgen Klopp coming in, sort of a year after, and some of the nights, and even in the Europa League, as Dan mentioned, like those Europa League nights are some of my fondest memories because it felt so new and so raw and so. Like you'd arrived there, but you didn't know what was quite going to happen. Are we the underdogs who beat Dortmund? Now we've got Villarreal, we've got Seville, then you're beaten, and you have that sort of, you know, the feeling after that game of, you know, I was distraught after that game because I really felt like that was just the next part of Liverpool under Jurgen Klopp was to get us into the Champions League. But then he brings us the Knights in the run up to Kiev, and they were just, you know, they were just out of this world.
Well, let's talk about that period then, 17 to 19. You know, you're finally in, Dan, you're finally, you know, able to sort of, you know, go to these games. You know, you probably got a bit of money in your pocket at that point, you know what I mean, from sort of, you know, starting to work properly and that. You know, without being like, you know, too kind of like, you know, exclusive. You know, I mean, you let the likes of me and Paul come, and that's nice. But it must have felt like, this is ours now. This is for me and the people sort of our age. So this is our goal. This is our experience. These are going to be our sorts of stories. That period, sort of, I guess, 17 to 19.
You couldn't ask for your football team to be brilliant at a better time in your life, I don't think, than your early mid, late 20s. Because you're at the point where financially, you know, you might not necessarily be able to go to every single one, but you can use your wages for that. You've not got the life responsibilities of probably, you know, a proper long-term partner, kids,
cats.
You know, a job, yes, cats, mortgage, a job that you're just like absolutely set on and all that sort of stuff. So it just felt like a really brilliant adventure. And through that as well, like obviously, you know, the football team is very important in their successes as well. But the more often they play in big games of football, which obviously the Europeans ones are more than anything, and the more places you go in Europe, therefore the more people that also love Liverpool you meet.
Yeah.
Whether that be from the city itself that you've just never come across, whether it be from different places in the UK or all around the world. And so what I always take from, you know, Liverpool getting to the latter stages of a European competition is being able to share it with the people first of all, but pick up new ones along the way. This season has been brilliant for that because they played 63 matches, which they might never ever do again. But those years were really brilliant for that. So we first sort of bonded, did we, for that in that 17-18 season, because you started doing stuff with these and that. And I think after the City home game, I met you in Motel for the first time, and then we had a really lovely time in Rome together, well, yeah. Didn't we?
I did, I'm not sure about you.
Well, I got inadvertently pissed on by a man. Not in a kinky way, for anyone who might have been titillated by that, just in a quite vile way, in a park while we were waiting for the buses.
I didn't realise there was a kinky way.
No, you clearly should live a sheltered life. Live a sheltered life. But so that's where, you know, our bond comes from. And now, I mean, we've been at every European match at Anfield together this season, haven't we? And all of the ways have not necessarily stood together in the ground, but have spent a significant proportion of the trip. And now we're going to stand together in the final. So if Liverpool win, brilliant. If Liverpool win in the European Cup that season, then we might vaguely know each other. Or we might know each other just as well, but wouldn't have shared as powerful a connection as what we do because of the fact that they were kicking the ball in the net all the time in these different brilliant stadiums all across the continent.
Yeah.
And that to me is so special. Obviously, it's brilliant to watch Liverpool with trophies and to see the look on the manager's face and the players' faces and all that kind of thing. But the actual proper important and profound thing is the effect it has on your life and the way that you feel. And therefore, meeting new people and bonding with them quite deeply emotionally over this thing, and the travel that you do with them, is what it's all about. And you know, I'm sure that for older people, that's still a thing.
Yeah.
It's still fantastic. But I don't think you can beat doing it in your very early adulthood when your, you know, way of viewing the world and your beliefs and stuff are still being shaped anyway. The fact that they're then further influenced by all of the life experiences that Liverpool and the people around it give you. Is wonderful.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm listening to that, that could be resonating, because I'm 18 in 2000, so I'm 19 in 2001, and then I'm 23 in 2005, and so that is the period where, you know, treble season is my first year in uni, and I remember like a couple of people saying to me like, you're not enjoying it, and I'm like, no, it's great, because like I was just jumping on trains and jumping and just getting off, and I was like, but this is what I've been waiting for, so like, you know.
And that's when you met Kevin.
Yeah, Mick, that's season. Yeah, Mick was a little bit after. I think Mick was, we knew Mick by Istanbul though, so it wasn't that much after. But Kev, I became really good mates with that season, and it's exactly sort of what you're talking about. And you know what we had that period, which I definitely see in sort of you two in particular now, is you get a big draw, and it's how we're gonna get there. Like, it's not like, shall we go? Like, that bit's like, there's no, just jump past, shall we go? How are we gonna get there? you know, kind of get the time off through our little text to Craig.
We were the eyes emoji.
If you do social.
we literally walked out of the car the other day after the Wolves game and walked down the stairs, and I said to you, have you sorted Helsinki yet?
Oh, yeah.
And you went, what do you mean? And I said, that's where the Super Cup is, and you went, no, and I went, I've already got you a room.
One less thing to worry about.
I think I've been in more countries with you than with my own wife by this stage. Which sort of says it all, really.
Yeah, the bad places you'd never think to go to is part of the adventure, is the cities like that I would never, you know, visit or think to go. I think, oh, we'll do a little weekend break there, but you go and, like, you know, some of the Maribor, lovely place. We'll never go.
Would go back.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I possibly would. No, but, like, you know, maybe not, maybe, you know, not choose to necessarily, but absolutely lovely place. But that's it, you go to these places, and like Dan says, you're so often welcomed as the bus supporters in a way that sort of happens less in this country.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I'm thinking of Salzburg just before the pandemic, and we sort of booked that last minute, and then it became the last European away that we were able to do for 2 years. And like, when would I ever go to Salzburg with Fuat? but it was lovely. And I think that absolutely is a massive part of it. I think the thing I've loved about this, like, Kiev's the biggest one, and the thing I love about this and this era in particular is that this era is adding its own sort of its own stories to this already storied history of the football club, and I don't mean on the pitch. So you know the stories of Istanbul, and you know the people running out of beer, and the locals selling it to them, and the big walk to the stadium, and you've heard Rome, and you know, and all of these sorts of things. Will, you know, when this era ends and people look back on it, we'll look back on things like the fan zone culture, the boss nights, you know, the Shevchenko Park, and then there's Madrid, and now there's Paris, and now suddenly these things, it feels like European Cup final wouldn't they both need each other, do you know what I mean? Like, first thing that happens when Liverpool reaches, is there a fan park? Everyone was messaging about that, and I just think that's like an incredible thing that'll go down in the history books. Not just not just our own personal experiences of them, but these will be the stories in the books in years to come.
The storytelling exists on that sort of macro level that you're talking about, you know, 80,000 people being stood in this one, you know, park in Madrid or whatever, and that kind of thing. But also, like, in 30 odd years time or whatever, us and 3,000 odd other people will tell everyone about the rain in Villarreal, for example. Or
I'm still
how long and how sweltering the bus in Rome was that we got put on for 2 hours before the match and stuff like that. I love those little sort of like anecdotes that are not necessarily, I mean, they're personal to everyone, but they're also communal because everyone's done the same thing and done the same trip. So there are people that aren't even born right now that at some point will be fucking sick and tired and bored of hearing us talk about how wet we were in Spain in May when Liverpool were going for the European Cup again. And I think stuff like that's absolutely brilliant because it adds that level of sort of personalization and authenticity to the sport. You know, the sport is one thing and it's brilliant, but the actual sort of lived experience and what the journey was like is to me the more important
thing. And the fact that it's the culture that's carried on, it's carried on and it's added to, and it's still the same flags. You'll see some of the same flags that have been there for years, and they've been at loads of European Cup finals after, and it's still that everyone wears red. It's still, you know, there's still the same old songs, but they're adding new ones to it that then will, in 10 years time in a European Cup final, will still be in sang. Like, and why that's so special to me really is because when late 90s, sort of early 2000s, when I always remember having the big official history books and reading through them, and when you read about the European Cups, like, it just felt like it was something that was never going to happen at that stage, because in the late 90s, my whole Liverpool life had, you know, there was an FA Cup and League Cup that I couldn't remember by that stage, and 2001 just hadn't happened yet. So these were things I was like, why doesn't that happen now? Like, this sounds brilliant, why can't we do this now? But now we're getting it.
But also, I think on the same sort of tone, this is a really brilliant sort of age to be doing it in, because in the past when we were kids, you know, the magazines were brilliant and you would look through scrapbooks and you would look through, you know, printed out Kodak photos from, you know, my uncle and cousin's trip to Istanbul and stuff like that, which is great, and that was the authentic experience at the time. But now in the digital age, there's so much of it is documented by, you know,
like us.
Well, no, this, for example, is a brilliant sort of truth of that. there's the increased TV coverage and stuff like that as well, but also the fact that more people know each other simply because the internet exists.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
might be, you know, I know more people just from Liverpool than I probably should know because the internet exists, but also there'll be people who rock up for this final who mightn't have a ticket, but they'll come from America, they'll come from Australia, wherever. And they'll know one another, they'll have mates to meet up with from Spain or from China or whatever, because that exists, and that means that even more people get to share what is, you know, a genuinely really powerful sort of emotional and spiritual experience on top of what in the past would have been, you know, still a brilliant group of people who would have had the absolute time of their lives, but it would have been that bit less accessible and that bit less documentable as well.
So this podcast meant to be about how it felt to win it in Madrid. We've got a 25-minute intro, but I loved it. I don't care. I said to the boys, we'll see where this goes, and it's been great. So Dan, what did it feel like to win in Madrid?
I remember feeling a combination of the pure joy of it, but also relief. I took care of quite well. I remember me, you and Neil, I think, did the podcast afterwards on the bus just after we'd left. I sort of talked it through, yeah. and that was helpful. And then we had, you know, the big journey back, and Liverpool was still great going into the next season, so it all felt all right. But I was in the Nou Camp for the 3-0.
Yeah.
And the idea that Liverpool were going to not win the league by a point or goal difference or whatever, and also not win the European Cup, I was taken really, really badly. Because I was convinced that they were, I mean, I still am, that this era of Liverpool is not just one of the best sides that English football's ever seen, but that has ever existed in club football, and it just so happens that another one exists at the same time as well, and that means that they both take honours off one another all the time. So I felt like I really needed Madrid to sort of justify everything. So there's obviously the thrill of the early goal and the just pure tension that follows after that, because very little happened in that game of football, did it really, in the grand scheme of things. And then the Eureka goal went in, and I don't know if it came across on the telly or to people who weren't there, but there was just a brief instance before everyone celebrated, but everyone knew it was in. Yeah. It hit the net and everyone breathed out. Before they screamed, before they jumped, before they started hugging and kissing each other or whatever, the whole end of 15,000 odd Liverpool supporters did this big breath out, and it felt like a combination of relief that the team had a justification for its brilliant season, but that also us having lived that past few years of Klopp coming in and missing out in Basel and then missing out in Kiev and then missing out in the league, finally we had this big shiny silver thing that justified it all. Because when I look back now on that campaign and stuff, obviously it means that all of those European matches have that extra edge of, oh well, you know, playing whoever in the quarterfinal was great, and then we won the trophy, so it's even better, and I can tell you about it more. But it also justifies like all those, or validates rather, those league games. So like Wijnaldum away at Cardiff and Origi at Newcastle and Salah at Southampton and stuff like that. Because they were part of winning the European Cup. It might be a different competition, but it's not like they all forget that they've been brilliant in the league on the weekend before they go in and play on a Wednesday. So it felt like this sort of mixture of all the positive things that can come from reaching the end of a journey. You know, it carried on after that. Liverpool went on to win the league, and now we're here again. But that felt like, all right, we can breathe. And I can stop stressing about this, because that's important to note as well. Like, you know, the thing is loads of fun and all that sort of stuff, but it doesn't not put you through the ringer. I mean, that first half in Villarreal the other week was horrible, wasn't it? And the game in Rome was really difficult to live through as well, because it was so wild. So having that sort of, just having that breather at the end when you know they're all about to run at you with the cup, and you're going to have the time of your life for another hour and a half before you get back on a bus with everyone. It's just brilliant. And you can't beat looking around at a Liverpool away end and seeing, you know, kids as young as 3 or 4 and men and women as old as 80, maybe even 90 odd, with the exact same beam and grin on the face, like it is the happiest they've ever been in their lives.
The timing of that goal that Origi got is what, 84, 85, sort of something like that? Is it a bit later?
87,
I think. It's 87, yeah. So almost in a way, you have that kind of explosion, don't you, of pure joy all the way till the final whistle. Because at that moment, we all sort of knew we'd won it. And it was sort of a strange feeling, because they're still playing football. You know, we're all in the ground, just, you know, completely in disbelief with everything that's going on. And then I think by the time that whistle goes, you know, there is relief, but it's almost exhaustion as well. It's like everything that you've sort of bottled in, and all that big release that you've had with the goal, it's all slowly trying to come off. And then you see the players, and the players give you that second wind, I thought, the way they run over, and then you watch all the stuff back. It's really special, and it's like, I think that the fact that you have that connection with the players and with the manager and with everyone there, it makes it a little bit more special than it would be with any other team and with any other sort of group of players, because you know they enjoy it as much as you do, and you know that they want to win it for you as much as they want to win it for themselves. And I think that's something this team has done really well, and something I've noticed every time they've won a trophy, you know, it isn't about just them, it's immediately straight to us, because they know they want to deliver it for us just as much as, you know, their own personal kind of goals.
I mean, it was incredible. The interesting thing about the two finals, when you group them together, because it very much feels like the same journey, was the difference between the two in terms of when you turned up to the stadium. So whenever you got to the stadium at Kiev, it was raucous. You know, the concourses were bouncing. It was like it was a party, and it was a party because it was, you know, we were celebrating being there.
And we literally had a party before, didn't we?
Yeah, and while Madrid, we turned up, and it was quiet and it was composed, and everyone was there to win the European Cup, and that was just it. We'd had a brilliant party throughout the day, don't get me wrong, in the square, but we were there to win the European Cup that day. When we actually won it, I was dead emotional, really. And I was emotional because I was able to stand with sort of seven or eight of yous and like have that moment. Usually with these finals, you have a ticket and you're here, there, you're
everywhere. That's what we're out of it for this one, unless we saw Sirius, isn't it? But I feel like very blessed to be at that big Daniels together, and obviously been on, you know, a big journey together. That definitely sort of, you know, improved that feeling for me.
Yeah, and even things like, you know, throughout the 2 years, like the discussions I would have with Neil around, like, you know, the possibility of Liverpool doing it and what we needed to do from a work point of view and all of that, and that's the boring bits in the background. But then whenever we finally do it, and we were hugging, just like screaming at each other, we've done it, as if like it was us, that the two of us had made this happen. And even things like, I rang my dad, you know, sort of 10 minutes after it all calmed down a bit, just to speak to him, because the last time Liverpool had won a European Cup, I'd, you know, me and him had watched it, and I remember that vividly, and that was, there was like a tinge of sadness. I'm like, oh, I'm not with him to be able to watch it, but you know, I was in the stadium and I was there to see it. And now that I'm talking about it, I'm just so excited for this game now. And I'm not bothered that there's, you know, we're all doubted about and everything. It just feels like it's a massive moment in your life, isn't it? And you go to have done 42 games a season or something, 43, and it all leads to this. This is the one that it leads to, and for us to be able to experience that again, not just the 90 minutes, not just the potential celebrations after, and potentially Liverpool winning yet another one. It's the whole build up, it's the bus there, it's the meeting people as they arrive and speaking to people. When are you getting here? It's the everyone talking about their plans, it's turning up on the day in the fan park happening. And just a sea of red everywhere. Liverpool take over, and that's the most exciting bit about all of this. So Madrid meant so much. It was absolutely one of the best days of my life.
Do you feel like you'll ever top it, Dan, or do you feel like it's not a case of necessarily topping it? Like that, the first one would always be the first one, and any others to come, and hopefully this weekend, you know, will just be different rather than sort of better and worse.
I guess it's about sort of chasing a similar feeling. I think sort of the human experience is about trying to feel the peaks of human emotion as much as you can, and that might be very different peaks. Sometimes it might be just a sort of pure contentment. It might be really, you know, thrilled excitement sometimes. I won't ever feel that exact feeling again, because it was the first time, and it was at the end of this process, like we've been talking about before, that lasted for a few years. But I feel like I know full well that consistently throughout my life, hopefully, Liverpool will keep delivering me moments in my life where I feel a peak of human emotion, and I'm surrounded by other people that are doing the same thing. And you can't ask for anything more from sport or from a football club than that, I don't think. There are very, very few people that ever get to experience anything like it in just their day-to-day lives. And we get it on a stupidly regular basis, to be honest. You know, the feelings that we've had in the two finals that we've already had this season have been so special. Never mind the fact that they were mere domestic cups rather than the European ones. So it's not about sort of like topping it or you know, we won it in Paris, but that was time. Let's go to Madrid or something like that. It's about how many times through the vehicle of this football club and all of these people that I care about, that I share it with, can I feel something that strongly? And I would like to think it'll be quite a lot. I was saying, I know you made the joke about John's age before when we started, but Liverpool have been in, he was born in 1973, and Liverpool have been in 10 European finals since he was born. And he's about halfway through his life. So, you know, if everything continues as is, Liverpool should be in 20 finals, European finals, in John's lifetime. So if we all take that as an average, that we're going to get about 20 of them, then we've got loads left.
I like your answer.
And you know, it might be a few less, or it might even be a few more, if they keep being as brilliant as they have been in the past few years. But having, you know, consistency like that, where you can sort of lift to such an extreme, is a proper privilege, because, as I say, you know, sport is one of very few things that can provide that anyway. But then of all of the people that like sport and follow a particular club or athlete or institution or whatever, there are precious few sports fans on the planet that ever get just one of these instances, never mind the amount that we already have had, you know, in the grand scheme of things, of really relatively short lifespans.
I think that if we win it, and this goes against the premise of your podcast, so I'm sorry about it, John, but I think if we win it tomorrow night, Saturday, it might better Madrid for me. Just because of the, I know that sounds mad, right? But it's because of the reason of, like, we didn't have football for so long there, and I said in another podcast that it felt like at times we'd never get it back, we'd never get real life back, we'd get different aspects of life back, but we'd never get it like as a whole like we had before. And so I spent my time just watching videos of Madrid and Kiev and remembering all those moments, reminiscing over the times and thinking, like, will I ever get that again? I'm not sure. And then you watch how Liverpool performed last year and you're starting to doubt, is like, have we seen the best days? And now we're seeing the best days. Like, this is the best days. And if they win this, European Cup, it is the most historic season in my lifetime supporting Liverpool. And if they win this, it's a treble, and it's an incredible parade the day after. And I've not been able to go to a parade, and I will get to do that this time. But even things like the Barcelona just before the Madrid, that was the extreme high for me. Anyway, I can only speak for myself. The extreme high was Barcelona for me. It was a different kind of high. It was a, like you say, it was a relief. It was a contentment. It was a, you know, it was a, oh, we've done it. It was an excitement like that. And so I think if we do it this time, plus the fact that last time I was going in, I was sure we were going to beat Spurs. We're against the Real Madrid side. No matter what Real Madrid side you play, you worry. So, I think I'm confident I'll have a better time on Saturday night than I did at Madrid, John.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure there was a sort of a premise to the necessarily to the podcast, but I think maybe where we've ended up throughout is that, I don't know, you sort of lie to yourself in a way, is that you tell yourself before you've seen us win one, I just want to see us win one. I just want to see us win a European Cup. And then you win one and you're like, fuck that. That was great. One. Give me loads more than that. I don't know. So maybe we've ended up is that we're all greedy, but some of these Liverpool players feel like they're greedy for more, we're greedy for more, and yeah, we just might get it.
Exactly. Anytime you're a little bit complacent or you sort of forget about the feeling, I always remind myself that, you know, in the history of this club, we've won it six times, and you know, that is a lot in the grand scheme of things, but the amount of years, you know, this club's existed and this competition has existed, you know, it is at lows, and these are rare occasions at the end of the day. And I think, you know, when you're doing it so consistently in a short period of time, sometimes you lose sight of that a little bit. But, you know, it's also the biggest game in club football that, you know, everyone watches this, and you have that pride, don't you? That sense of pride that you're involved in this, you're directly involved in this, you're emotionally invested, you've been able to have, you know, the best time of your life going and following the team up to that point, and having all the experiences that we've talked about leading up to this. And I think, you know, this sort of caps off those experiences. You'll never, you know, no matter what happens, we'll never lose the journey of getting to these finals. Same as Kiev, you know, you never lose those memories that you create going there, but this sort of tops it off and it completes it, doesn't it, for everyone. And it's so nice to have that feeling of you back them, you know, you completely back them in these situations. And when you play a big team as well, that just adds to it, doesn't it? To win it against Real Madrid feels really special. Feels like, you know, they're the ones you want to be meeting at this stage of the competition, and they're the ones that, you know, they think they're the kings of Europe. And yes, they've won it the most times, you know, by a lot. but you feel like if you can get one on them, it means more than just, you know, than just a trophy, just a European Cup. It's beating the best and the royalty of this competition.
I remember on the run to Kiev, and then whenever we won it in Madrid, there was a lot of talk from like younger contributors like us saying like this was our one, and the run to Kiev was our, and this was our chance to experience all of the things that we'd heard, you know, the generations before us talk about. And I feel like a bit of a bell end saying, or like thinking back to that now, because there's an old man, I don't know what his name is, and he must be about 70, and I meet him at different European aways, and we never catch each other's name. I don't know, not Rob. You'll forget him, do you? But I've chatted to him at different aways in Rome and in Germany and so on, whatever. And spoke to him this season, and he said, and waves it. Spoke to him this season, and he said something that really stuck with me. He said, I used to think that my Liverpool side were the team that I watched when I was in my 30s, because they were winning it all. But this is my Liverpool. This is my Liverpool team now. Yeah. This is the year that when I think about what Liverpool side means most to me, it's this one. It's Jurgen Klopp, and I think that's a really, really special thing, that you've got these Arsenal fellas that's seen it all, won it all, you know, done everything with Liverpool, but they're looking at the current team and going, nah, they're my boys.
Yeah, I think it's a lovely place to finish. This is everyone's Liverpool. This is yours. This is ours. What a time to be alive. Up the Reds.